Well, I'm glad to be with you tonight. I've already had a most wonderful time. Started off in Washington, D.C., in a big church there, and had a wonderful time. The service on Sunday morning went for 3 hours. Not me preaching, but it just went for 3 hours. The people just got excited, and they were worshiping and praising God, and it was a good time. Then, let's see, I was down at Laurelville in Ohio and had a wonderful time there also. Then over to, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and had 4 days of meetings there. And that was absolutely wonderful also. All Sunday afternoon, about 30 people came. It wasn't a meeting. The pastor just invited and said, just come. And they provide the meal, you see, for everybody. So they came all afternoon. They just asked questions, and I was just sharing. And they just got blessed. They found out many things that they had wanted to know, but they didn't understand. And so that was another wonderful time. Then I've just come from Missouri.
No, it's the other. I'm from there.
You understand, do you? Well, the other people were all calling it Missouri, so I got I've had 4 days there of meetings, and that has been really wonderful. We really got down to studying some of the things that they needed, that they wanted to know about. Tonight, I'm going to the subject matter will be spiritual consciousness. Now you say, what in the world is that? Well, you'll discover it, and I'm going to make it simple enough, so don't worry. I'm not a highly educated man. I'm just Des Walter, that's all. So if I can understand it, I'll guarantee you can. Could we just pray together?
Yes.
Father, as I just lift this people into your presence, to stand before you, Father, in the light of your glory. And as that light shines upon them today, whatever darkness there may happen to be in their lives, that tonight, Father, that darkness will disappear as the light just takes over. And when the light comes, the darkness flees away. Father, I ask tonight that you would prepare the hearts of this people and that you'll give them the understanding that they need so that what is shared by the Spirit of God they will be able to understand and will be blessed and encouraged in their walk in you. Father, we say thank you for the time that we can be together. We say thank you for each other. And because there is a people here in this city that know you, and Father, from this nucleus, you're going to raise up a people that will turn this place upside down. And the kingdom of God ultimately will begin to function. And so we say thank you. We bless your holy name. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being able to be together here and ask that the Spirit of God now will brood over this meeting to bring forth a fruit that will be for the Master's use. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word consciousness is not even in the Bible. So you say, well then, why do you talk about it? I talk about it because of what it is. I can tell you tonight that every one of you are conscious of many, many things in the natural world. In the natural world. You are conscious of who you are. You are conscious as to whether you've got any pain in your body or whether you haven't. You're conscious as to whether you're happy or you're sad. You're conscious of who you are. You're conscious of a whole lot of things in the natural world. And you're conscious of the temperature. And you're conscious of the light that we have. And all of these things, you see. Now, what does it mean? It simply means that you don't have to think about what you are conscious of. See, if I ask you, what's your name? You know, well, wait a minute, I have to think about it. No. You know exactly, you just read it all. If somebody came to me and said, I need a match. Have you got a box of matches there? I say, no. Why? Because I don't carry matches. I don't smoke. I mean, there's a bit of fire in here, but there's no smoke. So, you see? Why did I say no? I didn't have to think about that. I didn't have to say, wait a minute, no, I haven't got any. I didn't have to think because that's my consciousness. So you understand now? Natural consciousness is what you are naturally conscious of. But spiritual consciousness is the one we've got to get to understand. And so we're going to learn a little bit about this tonight. To be conscious of who we are is a spiritual consciousness. Because I know I am Des Walter with my natural consciousness. But if I said to you, do you realize that Christ is your identity tonight? Every one of you.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what you think, what you say, whatever. Why? How do I know that? Because when the first man was created in Genesis 1:26, that was Christ Jesus, and he was spirit. And that spirit is Christ. And in that man is all of mankind that's ever been born on this earth. You see? So I know Christ is in you, and I can tell you Christ is in you, but it's another thing to be conscious of that Christ in you.
That's right.
You hearing this?
Yes.
So this is what we're going to work on tonight, because this is very important. And it's not until you have a consciousness of these things which are spiritual, which you can't see. You know, and because you can't see it, you think, oh, well, I don't know whether it's there or whether it's not there. Well, your consciousness can put it there, and you can know that it's there and understand that this is what I am. Before you were ever born on this earth, did you have any kind of existence? Did you exist before you were born?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would like you to, I'm going to read to you a little bit out of this book here to tell you about what you did before you were ever born on this earth. Would you like to know? You really would? Okay. It's found in the book here. In the book of Proverbs. Found in the book of Proverbs. Okay, I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to read it to you in the first person. In other words, I'm going to read it as if God is speaking to you, because he is. Okay? God is going to be speaking to you here, because this is how it's written. All right. Starts in verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 22, chapter 8. Verse 22. The Lord possessed you. The Lord possessed you in the beginning of his way. Isn't that something? And before his works of old, you were set up before him from everlasting, even from the beginning, before even the earth was created. Wow. And when there were no depths, that is, no water, you were brought forth. And where there is no fountains abounding with water, even before the mountains were made, before the hills, you were brought forth by him. While as yet he had not even made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the mountains, he says, when he prepared the heavens, that is, put the stars, the sun, and the moon up there, he says, you were there. Come on. You were there.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us tonight. You were there. It says, and when he set a compass on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave his decree to the sea and said, you will not come beyond the boundary I have set for you, he says, when he appointed the foundations of this earth that we are living on today, then you were with him as a little child raised by him. Isn't that something? Now, you probably have had no concept of that, which means that your spiritual comprehension or your spiritual consciousness has not been activated. You understand? And this is why many times we suffer in our lives with a lack of understanding. You know? See, many people think, well, I'm not very clever, I'm not very smart. Why would God be interested in me? And look at this. I mean, you were there. He said to Job, where were you when I put the stars up there? He said, you should know. Yes. You were there with me.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us. So, spiritual consciousness, then, is a very real thing for us to develop. Because, if you can understand it, in Genesis 1:26, the man that God created in Genesis 1:26 was spirit, no body. He was just pure spirit. That was Christ Jesus. That's who it was. But he was spirit. And you are spirit. Because all of us came out of him. If you've got your Bible, if you're taking notes, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And what does he say? This is the Apostle Paul preaching. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, your body is his workmanship, there. Created, but you were created in Christ Jesus, not your body. Your body's never been created. Nobody's body was ever created. It was made in your mother's womb, you see. But you are not the body. Oh, the body is not you. The body is not you. So you might like the shape of your body, but don't let that bother you, because that's not you. You are spirit, and that spirit is in the likeness and the image of God.
Amen.
How about that? Don't tell me you're no good. Don't tell me that, you know, you got no chance of making it with God. Because he created you in his own likeness and image. That's how much he thought about you. Ah, but you see, you look in the mirror and say, wait a minute. That's not me that you're talking about. That's me in the mirror. Oh no, that's your natural consciousness. Your natural consciousness works through five senses. Sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. Those five senses makes you aware of anything in this world that relates to you. But there are senses that you have within you, or a real sensor, which is Christ. There's a spirit in every one of you, and that spirit is you. That's who it is. It's you. And that spirit is Christ. And that spirit is in the likeness and the image of God. No question about it. Because that's where it came from. And there was nowhere else for it to come from. That's all. And God only ever created that one son. But in him was all of mankind. I want to tell you, everybody on this earth today, there's not a person in this city who is not in the image and likeness of God.
Amen.
Not a person, not one single person has missed out. But probably 90% at least don't know it. In other words, their spiritual consciousness is not working. They don't even know it's there. Like some of you came tonight, and when I mentioned that word, you thought, oh, this is going to be, you know, some highfalutin talk about something we know nothing about. No, I wasn't going to talk about something you don't know anything about. I was going to help you to understand, you see, that just as you have five senses, which tells you what you are conscious of, and you don't have to think about any of that. You don't have to think about how tall you are, because I don't bump my head on anything much. It's just you big guys got to watch it, you know. So, spiritual consciousness. To understand that before you were born in this world, you had an existence with your heavenly Father. And I don't care what your earthly father was like, and mine wasn't real good when it came to raising kids. I had a problem, because my father, he never played with us as children, he never read us stories, he never, you know. I could not understand. As a child, I just felt like he's not interested in us. But when I became an adult, only then did I discover that my father had been in the First World War. He was in the English Army at that time, the British Army, and he was in France. And France was the first place where they started to use the mustard gas, the poisonous gas, and he was gassed. And just like many of our boys that have come back from Iraq and are coming back from they're coming back from there, their mind is blown, they've watched their mates being blown up around them, and their marriages are falling apart. It is shocking. So I didn't know that about my father when I was young, and so I just thought, well, he didn't care about us. But see, he just didn't have the capacity to do that. And so it was quite some time before I changed my perception.
Yes.
I had to learn that my natural consciousness was not all that God had for me, but he had a spiritual consciousness. And when I began to discover that I was that Christ who is the Son of God, loved with an everlasting love, and there I am in the image and the likeness of God, and every one of you are in the image and likeness of God. Oh boy. You should never write yourself down. Never. Because you're insulting God if you are, because you're in his image and likeness. So we have to cultivate now, we've got to cultivate this spiritual consciousness. The children of Israel were out in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay, so what happened? They were out in the wilderness for 40 years. During that 40 years, you realize that their shoes never wore out? For 40 years, they tramped it. And the desert, I mean, it's like a sand, and it's sharp and cutting. And I'll guarantee you, you could wear out a pair of shoes there very, very quickly. But theirs lasted for 40 days, 40 years. Yeah,
3 months.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Not even 3 weeks yet.
Okay, so now, that's amazing, isn't it? But not only that, their clothes. I don't think they've had to change their shirt or anything. Because they never had to replace them for 40 years. Goodness me. And there's nothing out there that'll grow, so God said, hey, I'm going to put the bread there for you every day. And there it is, the manna. It's there for them every day. And they ate the bread. And you remember Jesus Christ said, I'm that bread that your fathers ate in the wilderness. And they said, no, Moses gave us that. Oh no, he said, that was my father who gave you that. And he said, I am the bread of life.
Yes.
For all those years, those miracles were with them.
Yes.
Did any of them ever see a miracle? No. They never saw the miracle. In fact, they died, all of them. Having eaten the bread from heaven, they still died.
Yes.
Having seen the power of God to keep their shoes in a usable condition for 40 years, having seen that their clothes never deteriorated, knowing that the bread was there for them every day, they saw that. And lo and behold, that rock down there, just a dirty old piece of rock, but there was water came out of it for 40 years. And nobody went thirsty. But they never saw a miracle.
That's right.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
You know, in a sense, your birth was a miracle. I mean, how could, you know, this little thing just begin to form inside the mother's womb and, you know, develop until there's a complete little body in there. And of course that's not all. Then God drops a spirit in there.
Yes.
That's you. The spirit was you. The body, that's just this out of it, see. And, you know, for some, that body is very beautiful. For others, well, you know, it's okay. It gets through. It does the job and that's all that matters. But you see, this is our consciousness. And we have to understand in our consciousness that when we didn't know God, when we had no thought about God as a little fetus in our mother's womb, we couldn't even think properly there. I'm not sure, because I don't know what you can do in there. But see, it was reality for us. It was reality. So there are many things that we need to build into our spiritual consciousness. He made our body. He formed our body in our mother's womb.
Yes.
And he formed that body very, very carefully. Why? Because, you see, that body was not to be just your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And the Apostle Paul is speaking. And what does he say? He says, Don't you know? No, we don't know, Lord. And Paul, you think we know it all, but we don't know it. Don't you know that your body is the temple of God? Oh, Lord, help us. This is the King of the whole earth. This is the King that's over every other king that's ever lived on this earth. And he says, I'm going to make you to be my home. Your body is my temple. Oh, Lord, help us.
Yes. Awesome.
See, this is spiritual consciousness,
yes,
which we've ignored. We haven't even thought about it. But we've got to start to think about it, and then you find that we begin to lift ourselves up. We begin to enjoy this. Hey, this life that I'm living here is not just, you know, trying to make a living so that I can have a holiday for a couple of years at least when I retire. And I haven't even started to retire yet, but I will, I think. See? My kids have been asking me, when are you going to retire, Dad, for the last 15 years. Well, I'm thinking about it. So, your body is the temple of God. But not only that, he says that your body is the body of the Christ. That is, the Christ that lives in me. I thought this body belonged to me. That's what I thought. Didn't you think your body belonged to you? Yeah, I can do anything. You know, this is what the feminist movement in the world says. I can do with my body anything I want. If I want to have an abortion, I'll go out and have an abortion. If I want to get my eyelids lifted or my eyebrows, you know, whatever, I'll go and do it. It's not yours.
Yes.
Your body is not yours. You have no right to think that you can just do what you want or not do what you don't want. It's part of this learning spiritual consciousness. In other words, it's beginning to learn the things that you should be conscious of, but you're not. See? So, your body is the temple of God. He says also that your body is the body of the Christ. Christ in you is spirit. Christ is spirit. Spirit doesn't have hands. So if the Christ in me wants to lay hands on somebody, he cannot do that unless I give him these hands. And I say, you want to lay hands on somebody? Lord, here they are, here they are. He says, good, you just, you know. You see? And if he wants to say something, he doesn't have a voice like me, because he is spirit. So he says, I want you to say this and this and this. I say, Lord, that's okay. I'll say. And so I do. So we become, this body becomes his body. This is spiritual consciousness. So when you see these people, and not just women either, you know, from Australia, we have a lot of men that go over to Asia, to some of the countries over there, the near countries in Asia to us, and they have all of these people over there. They have these doctors that will change your appearance and, you know, whatever, make you beautiful if you're not, and all these things. And we have men and women going over there for all of this kind of work. Why? Because they've got no spiritual consciousness. They have only a natural consciousness. See, and I see in Australia, young girls, I don't like the way I look. So I'm going to go to the specialist that can, he can change some things for me. What's wrong with your body? God made it for himself. And I will guarantee you that your body is absolutely and totally qualified to do anything Christ wants to do. Anything. But we have to come to the place where this is being added to our natural consciousness. We must begin to understand, this is not my body. And so that's why, you know, I'm still doing what I'm doing. Because I know this body does not belong to me. But just recently I had a bit of an argument with my body, because it started to play up. And I had to have some serious talk with the Father about this, because I said, this is your body. And I didn't want, you know, to feel that, I didn't want him to feel that I was neglecting his body. I wasn't neglecting it. I was trying to keep it functioning like it was supposed to function. And God sorting it out anyway, so that's fine. So now, the children, Jesus Christ, one day, 5,000 people followed him out into a desert. And when they got out there, I mean, there's nothing in the desert, won't feed a bandicoot, so Jesus says, ask them to sit down, we're going to serve lunch. And the disciples said, Lord, what's wrong with you? We're in the middle of a desert. There's no Walmart here or anything like that. How are we going to feed them? You see, their consciousness was in the natural realm. A desert, no food, 5,000 people, many, many loaves of bread, and so on and so on. Can't do it, Lord. He said, what have you got? Well, all we got is this little boy's lunch. 5 little sandwiches and 2 little fish. For 5,000 people. Well, I wouldn't even satisfy one of them if he was a big man, you know. So what does he do? He said, just tell him to sit down. Don't argue. Just tell him to sit down. Because he was going to teach them something. And when they were all seated, he said, now, give me what we got. 5 loaves, 5 sandwiches, 2 little fish. And the Bible says, he blessed them. And then he started to break up that bread, and he started to fill these baskets. And he's filling these baskets, you see. Okay, boys, take that one there, go give it to them. Here's another one, it's coming up now, another box. Okay, boy, take that one out too, here's another one. 12 disciples taking out all of this stuff until they fed 5,000 people. How many people do you think that were there that day that saw the miracle? They ate the food, but they never saw the miracle. Why? Because their consciousness wasn't alerted. Not even the disciples. They never saw the miracle. When was the miracle? The miracle was when he just blessed that bread and he just, you see, whatever you got, that's enough.
Yes.
If God's there, that's enough. So spiritual consciousness is necessary for us. We must begin to develop this consciousness of Christ dwelling in us and the fact that this body was not designed for us, but was designed for Him, for His use. And that means that your body is there for the expression of Christ on this earth. Whatever He wants to do. So you see, many people, they are working for God. I meet people like this, you see. They say, well, we're working for God. I mean, God's told us to go out and do this. Or sometimes a pastor tells me, you know, God has told us where to go to this village and where to preach the gospel and we get people saved and we'll even baptize them in the creek there and so on. And so we're doing the work of God. But I don't have enough money to send my children to school. And they don't have enough money, we don't have money to buy enough food for them. Please, can you help us? And I say, this is very strange. You mean to tell me that God says, I'm going to send you out there, I want you to do this, all this work for me, but I won't be able to pay you. You're going to have to beg for it. Oh, I don't think so. And I tell them that when I write back, you know, I just tell them. I don't know that God. I said, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold and the silver in every land, for goodness sake. And you trying to tell me He's broke. I've been in this ministry for 40 years. We have never sold anything. When I was in Washington State, the pastor of this big church, or the pastor's wife, sorry, she said to me, how much are your books? I said, nothing. Why? She said, what, you give them away? I said, yes. She said, I give away all the CDs and all the DVDs and whatever else there is. She said, how do you live? Well, I said, it looks fine. I mean, you know, doesn't it look okay? I mean, my bones are not sticking out, are they? She said, you do look all right. Well, I said, there you go. But I said, you've got the picture wrong. I said, nobody is working for God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 16. And what does he say? He said, we are laborers together with God, not for God. Is that right? Did I get it right, did I? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I trust my memory most times. It's verse 9, I'm sorry. I got that one wrong. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are laborers together with God, not for God. Now that's a big difference,
yes,
isn't it? With God. Which means that Christ, God in me, because you remember Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. Not two separate people.
Yes.
So if God is in me, and I'm doing the work of God, how's it working? It works because He is doing the work.
Yes, right.
These are His hands, but I want to tell you what the hands do is the work of God, not my work. It's the work of God. And so, you see, this spiritual consciousness is so important to us so that we can understand Jesus Christ called the disciples together just before he disappeared. I say disappeared because he didn't go up into the sky. He just stepped back into the spirit world. And the Bible says he breathed on them. He breathed on them. Oh, Lord. And in that breath, there was an anointing, there was an impartation of God into the lives of those men.
Yes.
Just to breathe on them.
Yes.
You see? And I believe many times, you know, because Christ is in us, I think that because he doesn't have breath, because he is spirit, he doesn't need to breathe in that sense. But that breath was the same breath that he breathed into the first man that was on this earth. Remember in Genesis 2 verse 7? It says that he formed that body for that boy, that man, and out of the dust of the earth, and then breathed into the nostrils of that man the breath of life, and there he was, the man. That was Adam, the first earth man living in the garden. So, God can do anything. God has power to do anything. It's not your ability or my ability, but it's what he can do if I will allow him to function according to his own plan, which is, I'm going to dwell in you, and now I'm just going to say, now, if you let me use your body, you will see the miracle. And so, I have seen myself all of the miracles of Jesus in my ministry. I've seen the sick raised up. I've seen the dead brought back to life. I've seen it all. I did not do any one of them. You understand this?
Yes.
It was the Christ in me did it.
Yes.
My hands may have had something to do with it. My voice may have had something to do with it, but I will tell you, it was the one in here that did the miracle.
That's right.
Amen.
Would you like to do a miracle? Oh, everybody's rushing up here.
You'd like to
do a miracle? All right, I'm going to tell you how to do it. I can tell you this because this is exactly what I said to God. You see, years ago, quite a number of years ago, I was in India, and I was standing outside a little village church, about 100 people in this little village church. And after I'd finished preaching that morning, I'm talking to the pastor, and a man comes along and says, "Brother, listen, there's some people here who want you to pray for them. They're sick." I said, I didn't tell him, I can't do that. You know, I was a bit too smart for that. I didn't want to tell him how ignorant I was. But anyway, I went over there and almost the whole church is lined up. And they've got every disease you can imagine, and here I'm standing there. Well, I used an expression, then I said, I fumbled my way through it. I had no idea how to do that. Because my spiritual consciousness had not been aroused in that area of function. I knew how to preach, but I didn't know how to do a miracle. I said to the Lord, after that, I said, "Lord, please don't send me back to any place like this again until you tell me how to do it. How did Jesus do it?" He said, "Do you really want to know?" I said, "I do." He said, "Okay, I'm going to tell you exactly what he told me. If you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. And verse 10. John chapter 14 and verse 10. There are just three things here that you have to learn. The first one is, you must believe that you are in the Father.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay? There's your first little hurdle.
That's right.
You must believe that you are in the Father. Now, what does that mean? Well, you see, if you are in Christ, or Christ is in you, well, if Christ is in you, then you must be in Christ, because you're all one. You couldn't have an operation that'll take Christ out of you. No. Because that's spirit, so they won't even see it. So, Christ in you and your body become one, or you become one. And the body, then, is simply the vessel that contains God. Well, if it's Christ in you, what did he say? I and my Father are one. What does that mean? The Father's in me.
Yes.
All right. Now, just keep your finger there, but look up a little further to verse 20 and see what he says. He says, at that day, which is the day of revelation, the day of Pentecost for them it was, for us it's just the day of revelation, that day you will know that this is Jesus Christ speaking, that I am in the Father. Right? So he says, I am in the Father. That's the Christ in you. He's in the Father. And the second thing is, and you are in me. Well, if Christ is in the Father and you're in Christ, you're in the Father too. You see? So, are you beginning to get the idea about spiritual consciousness now? You're starting to see how necessary it is to have a consciousness in this other spiritual world.
Yes, it is.
It's more important than having a consciousness in this world.
Yes.
More important. You must believe that you are in the Father. If you don't, you will never see a miracle. Because he's the one that's going to have to do it.
Yes.
And you see, you have to have the spiritual consciousness to go through and do something like that. I mean, I've heard, not my experience, but I heard of another man who was at an accident, a car accident, you know. And this man, obviously, he was dead, you know. And he said there was no heartbeat, there was no breath, there was no sign of life whatsoever. And he just puts his hand on this man and didn't even get him out of the car because he was trapped in there anyway. But the man began to move, you know, and his hands began to move. And lo and behold, when the police got there and all the other, you know, they got to and took the door off and pushed some of the stuff out of the road and lifted him out. He was alive. So, anyway, what was saying is this, that the miracles are possible.
Yes.
Not an impossible thing, and not something that, you know, only some great preacher is going to be able to do, or Jesus. I was going to say Jesus himself, because if the miracle is done through me, it is him that does the miracle.
Amen.
Oh, look, I'm getting ahead of myself here. He says here in verse 10, believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and the words that I speak, I'm not speaking out of myself, but I'm speaking what the Father is giving to me. And then he says, it's the Father that dwells in me who does the work. So we can't walk around and boast and say, I can do a miracle.
Amen.
We don't have to.
That's right.
Oh, just to be a part of the thing,
yes.
You know. To find out that God could use these hands to raise somebody to life.
Yes.
To think that I could lay hands on somebody with tuberculosis and just lift that thing off them.
Yes.
See, but it's not me. It's the Christ in me,
yes.
Just using these hands. This is our spiritual consciousness.
Yes.
These hands, in the hands of the Christ, can do anything.
Yes.
That's right.
Anything.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Glory to God.
They can produce anything.
Yes.
Do anything. And so can yours.
Amen.
There's no difference between my hands and yours.
Right.
None at all.
Amen.
So,
amen.
We should be starting to get a bit of an idea now about the spiritual consciousness. If you're not conscious that that could happen, then of course it'll never happen.
Yes.
If your consciousness says, oh, I believe Jesus Christ could do it because he was on the earth and he did all those things. See, he raised the dead and made the lame to walk and the blind to see and all of this. See, he did that. He could do it, but me... No, but God's not asking you to do a miracle.
Yes.
Get that into your head. He never asked me to do a miracle. He just said, give me your body. And I can do with that body anything that I want to do on this earth. And if there's 5,000 people out there that need to be fed, just give me your body.
Glory to God.
Yes. You can do it. There's a key verse that goes with this, and it's in it's back in Proverbs here, chapter 23, somewhere here, chapter 23, yep, here we are, and verse 7, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And this is what it says. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, God help us.
Yes.
You mean to say all I have to do is to become conscious that this one dwelling in me is capable of doing anything?
Yes.
Anything that he wants to do. And that my body is all that he needs. We don't have to wait for some bishop or somebody with 3 or 4 degrees from the university. No, he said, just give me your hands, give me your voice, and I will do anything that I need to have done on this earth. Beloved, this is reality.
Yes.
I just want you to get this tonight. I'm not preaching at you tonight. I am sharing a truth. Which is just so important. Because we have not believed for anything like this. But you see, here we are. We're mostly older folk, except my younger brother here. But see, you've been married, you have a bunch of children. Oh, would to God I had known this when I got married. I mean, all the little... problems with the children, you know. They wake up at night and they got a raging temperature and you, what do you do? So instead of panicking or, you know, get the car out quick, we're going to have to race him into hospital or somewhere. Instead of that, Father, and you just lay your hands upon the little one and you just watch them settle down. The temperature disappears. Yeah. As a man thinks in his heart.
Yes, yeah.
Well, some of you, your stinking thinking needs to disappear and start a bit better thinking.
Yes.
And as we think like he thinks. Yes. You see, when the disciples were there, 5,000 people to be fed, all they've got is 5 little sandwiches and 2 fish. That's all they've got. They're thinking, this is impossible. Lord, you're crazy. 5,000 people and you think we're going to give them something to eat? But you see, they weren't thinking in their right capacity. There were 12 disciples. He only really needed one just to take them the food out to the people. And in one case where he did this, there was 12 baskets full left over. He doesn't do things by half, does he? I mean, not only did he feed 5,000, but 12 baskets full left over. Bring in the next 5,000. And it'd have been enough for them. Lord, help us. So, tonight, I really, I was just feeling so tired just in there before I came out, and I said, Lord, help us. Help us, Father, just to have something simple tonight that could bless this people.
Yes.
And help them and encourage them to be able to start to function.
Yes.
Because too many Christians are just sitting.
Yes.
Go to church, sit and listen to the preacher, you go home.
Yeah.
And you're not doing anything as far as God is concerned. But see, Jesus, what did he do? He didn't even bother going to any hospital anywhere. He's just walking like, oh, there's a blind man here. Let's go and see if we can help this man. Or a man comes, he's got a withered arm, see? What's he say? Hey, stretch out your arm. And out it goes. Yeah, bless you. Come on your way. Oh, it's as simple as that.
Yes, yes.
It's as simple as that. I want to tell you, you are capable of anything that God is capable of doing.
That's
the truth. Why? Because it's God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. He says here in John 14:10, it is the Father that does the work. He does it. Whatever the work is, he does it. But we see the miracle. We see the miracle. I want God just to bless you tonight. I want you to hide this in your heart. I want you to concentrate on it. Think about it even before you go to sleep tonight. And just say, Father, I would like to prove this in my life. Give me an opportunity to prove it. It may be some simple thing. Don't go out looking for some dead person to raise to life. Just look for some simple thing. You know? Like your car won't start. Just put your hand on it and say, in the name of the Lord, I'm just speaking to you that you will function according to the way you were intended to function and get in and hit the key and drive away. I have done it. I'm a motor mechanic. I have done it. I was out in the middle of Australia with a team of people in a van. We were on a mission. We were going over to Perth for a mission. And in the middle of nowhere. And this thing just, the distributor, the points just burnt out in that thing. There were just a heap of carbon on the end of the... And I said, Lord, there's no way in the world we can get this thing, you know, get another set of points for this, for the distributor. So I said, I'm just going to clean this thing up, and the points, they're probably, but somehow, you're going to make this thing go. And we did, and we drove for 100 miles after that. And when I got to the garage, the fella there, he took the cap off. He said, "You haven't driven this thing." I said, "This is the only way we got here." Oh, Lord. So I'm just telling you, you are a wonderful bunch of people here tonight. Now, just as you have been so conscious of your natural life, now you're going to begin to concentrate on your spiritual life and find there's more reality in your spiritual life than you ever found in your natural life. May God bless you. Could you just stand together and we pray? Father, tonight you have listened to all that's been said. You have watched the hearts of the people here, Father, your people. These are your children. These are your sons and daughters. And Father, tonight I ask that the Spirit of God would come upon each one in that mighty power of God, opening their hearts and filling them with a consciousness of the Christ that dwells within them. Father, I pray tonight that their spiritual consciousness will be awakened tonight and never, never go back to sleep again, but that it will begin to function, Father, so that the will and purpose of God that you have purposed before they were even born, that they would accomplish, that it shall be done, and that the glory of the Lord will be seen in this very city of Phoenix, Father, through your people. Let it be now, Father, according to your word. And I say thank you. I bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness in enabling us to understand and to seek and to know this word. And now, Father, as we part, let that Spirit remain with us. And let that consciousness develop until we know by the Spirit the things that you have made available to us. And we say thank you. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.